Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Hey everybody, it's Wednesday, February 3rd at Grace Tabernacle, and we are so glad you're with us today. And I have some dear friends and new members of our congregation. This is Bruce and Jane Niger. Hi. Say hello to them. They, if you haven't met them yet, they are a precious couple, and I hope you get to know them. And today I want to interview them to you and talk to you about them a little bit. Tell us a little bit about your background. Let's say, how long have you two been married now?
Well, we're coming up on our 11th anniversary.
Wow.
On February 10th.
Congratulations, February, right before Valentine's Day.
Yes.
So awesome. So That's very important, brother. You better get ready.
It was 2/10/2010.
Oh, wow. How about that?
And we got married at 2:10 in the afternoon.
Is that right? Well, how about that? Wonderful.
Unforgettable.
Unforgettable. But you made it that way, right?
Yes.
Praise
yes.
God.
That's our choice.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And they both have a medical background in the secular world. Jane was a nurse and Bruce was a doctor. So what a beautiful combination. They had the same mindset, background, understanding educationally. And but beyond that, they have the union in Christ is really where it's what we're talking about today. And they're both born again, and Bruce has a Jewish background, and you married a Gentile, and so it's a beautiful illustration of the church, isn't it, to me?
Yes, one new man, you know, Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah. That's why Jesus came, to break down the wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. And we know that our Heavenly Father arranged our marriage.
Amen.
We know it down inside.
Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. That's a wonderful thing. Bruce is a Messianic rabbi, and they both have a great understanding of our Jewish heritage and our Jewish roots. And they're bringing something special to Grace Tabernacle that we have not had before. And I'm really delighted about this. And Jane, why don't you first tell us about this class that's coming up on February 17th?
Well, first off, Bruce is the rabbi, and I'm the rabbi's wife. I'm
okay.
Called a Rebbetzin.
Okay.
But I'm not Jewish, and my background is by no means where his is at. But
okay.
I've gone through this for 11 years now with him,
okay.
And been learning more and more every year. And it does seem to grow, because it seems a little foreign at first when you haven't had it a part of your heritage.
Right.
And then every year it just gets deeper and deeper, the meaning.
So you've grown in your understanding by
right.
being married to a Messianic rabbi, and he's taught you, and you have grown, so that's kind of like where we are. We're going to grow in our understanding of our Jewish heritage. And so I just want to ask you before I get into Bruce here, how has that impacted you spiritually? What would you say what difference has that made in your life?
Well, first off, to understand that Jesus had fulfilled all the prophecies of the first coming, his first coming. And when you realize that the spring festivals are totally fulfilled, all of those hundreds of details, and then we anticipate that he'll fulfill the fall, his coming second time in the fall prophecies, and there's many of them. So there, that's why I say there's so much to learn.
It's like learning God's calendar
mm-hmm.
of timing, isn't
it's true.
It? So this class, what's the name of the class it's going to be, Bruce?
Feast of the Lord.
Feast of the Lord.
God's timing.
God's timing.
For us.
For us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very important, especially as I believe we're in the end days, in my opinion. And I think that, you know, God is showing us his calendar, and it's important for us to be in sync with God. But February 17th, this class will start at 11 a.m.
Correct.
And we'll have a designated classroom in here, and you already have about 12 people signed up. And if you are interested and want to know more about this class, and you are available on Wednesday starting February 17th at 11 a.m., you can sign up by going to admin@gracetab.org, and you can sign up, and we'll make sure your name and information gets to Bruce and Jane.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about this class. Bruce, it's not your first rodeo. You've taught this before.
Yes, but just before I do that, I want to say this. I'm not a traditional rabbi the way that people think of rabbis. I was a Jewish doctor for the first 50 years of my life. I was born again in revival. The Lord downloaded to me 20 years worth of biblical understanding in 6 months according to a prophetic word that he gave me. And I was elevated to the position of rabbi by serving at my congregation, and the people and the head rabbi saw something in me that was God was using to fulfill my prophetic destiny. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I don't have the same learning background as a traditional rabbi, but I feel qualified in many other ways. Because as we know, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called.
Hallelujah!
And so, in the Bible, it says that he created the sun and the moon for signs and for seasons. And then in the book of Leviticus, it lists the seven feasts of the Lord in Leviticus chapter 26. And each of the major festivals, like Passover, and Feast of Tabernacles fall on full moons.
Mm-hmm. So that was because they were under the lunar calendar, is that right?
Yes, they're under a lunar calendar, 28-day cycle, and it always has to do with harvest seasons and times in Israel. This calendar was originally given to Israel. Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you a question. Why is there so much focus in the news and in the world on this tiny little nation of Israel that has only a few million people, mm-hmm. and yet the United Nations has passed more resolutions regarding Israel than all the other countries combined. Mm-hmm. And there's so many people attacking Israel, doing all these things. Why? Mm-hmm. And a simple answer is that Jesus said that he's going to return to Jerusalem when he comes again. Mm-hmm. And he's going to set up his millennial kingdom in Israel.
Amen. And Jerusalem will be the capital of the world.
And so all believers need to have their focus on what's happening in Israel, but also what's happening on God's calendar to understand the times and the seasons. Jesus said he gave us these signs so that we would know what's happening. He said, see, I've told you beforehand, mm-hmm. when you see these things happening, you know, be ready, mm-hmm. because the hour that I come is known only to my Father in heaven. Even the angels in heaven don't know the day or time, but only my Father, and we need to be ready all the time.
So this knowing God's seasons is like knowing God's calendar. And not only that, but knowing, watching Israel, what's happening in Israel geographically and in the world, so we need to keep an eye on both, and then we can give a better perspective from the New Testament about where Jesus said we are at a particular time.
Yes. I don't want to give away too much, because then people won't feel like they need to come to the class, but we have a saying that most of you know, the New Testament is concealed in the Old, and the Old Testament is revealed in the New. Mm-hmm. And we're going to show in this class how these Old Testament scriptures and the biblical feasts have been revealed in the New Testament Bible. Mm-hmm. And you'll have new insight into the meaning of certain scriptures that you've read all your life in the New Testament by understanding the shadow precursors of them from the Old Testament.
That's really the way you understand prophecy. We have to know the history in the past and what God's done in the past. Many times it reveals part of the future, what's coming as well. Well.
And the word for season in Hebrew is moed.
Moed.
M-O-E-D.
Okay.
And it also means a festival or a feast, and then it can also be translated as a holy convocation or a dress rehearsal.
I like
and
that.
And so these feasts literally could be described as dress rehearsals for how we're going to be behaving in eternity.
Wow.
When we're spending it with the Lord in heaven.
It's like practice. We're getting ready.
Yes,
you know, the bride is preparing herself. Now, we have a spring feast coming up. What are the spring feasts that are coming
up? The spring feasts are Passover,
okay.
Unleavened Bread,
okay.
First Fruits,
Okay.
And then Feast of Weeks or Shavuot, which is also called Pentecost.
Okay. Okay. So that's coming up here around our Easter season.
Yes.
Okay. So we are planning on having, for the first time ever, here a Seder dinner on Good Friday. We'll give you more details about that as we come along. And Rabbi Bruce here is going to lead us in that. And so, Jane, when you first heard of a Seder dinner, being a Gentile, did you have any understanding of what that was?
Well, I had already gone to two Seders with Christian groups.
Okay.
So I know Christian groups are doing that. However, when you have a Messianic rabbi, you get a whole lot more scripture around the telling. There's a book that's the telling, the Haggadah. And also he's got at least, I don't know, 9-10 pages of embellishment, which if you haven't been around a Jewish rabbi or other Jewish people, there's a lot of laughter and fun involved. You wouldn't expect that necessarily, but there are jokes, so become prepared to laugh. Oh, and it's extended. It's at least 2 to 3 hours in length.
Oh, wow.
It's a telling, it's participation. There's a Seder plate that you're interacting with.
There's a lot going on.
Children are invited as long as they're the age that can sit and pay attention. Mm-hmm. The nursery age children, that would be a problem. But as a matter of fact, there's even a part for them where they need to run and search and find something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely participatory. The meal comes about 2/3 of the way through, so don't come hungry.
Okay.
Famished thinking you're going to eat right away. And then but it all wraps up beautifully. You see how all the pieces fit together.
Okay.
It's a telling.
I'm excited about this because this is just an interactive teaching, really, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And we really want to invoke all five senses. So you're going to be tasting, hearing, smelling, just touching everything. And you learn better the more different sensory input you have over a subject. And as Jane said, the Haggadah is a book that tells the story of Passover and the history of the Jewish people. And I now have at least 12 pages of notes to augment that I've gathered up over the years. So I'm sure people will be blessed, and I guarantee you will learn something that you never knew before.
I'm excited about it, and I'm just really thankful that, especially the timing of this, is God, because God sent you to our church at such a time as this. And then we're coming up on Passover and Holy Week, which I always felt like that's the week prior to Easter that we really are to do something special. We should have something set aside that we look forward to go back into remembrance, but also looking forward. So I believe this is going to be great. And I think the classes starting February 17th are going to be such a momentum builder as we learn new things that we have not seen before. How our Bible is Middle Eastern Bible. And sometimes with a Western mindset, we miss so many things that are right there, but only the Jewish mindset or the Middle Eastern mindset would understand. And that's why it's so important to have a other than just a Western Gentile mindset to understand the scriptures.
That's correct, Pastor Gary. You know, the Bible was written for people with a Hebraic or Eastern mindset that understands that the heart is the center of a person's being. Mm-hmm. And in the West, we're trying to understand it with a Western mindset that believes the intellect is the center of a person's being. And if you try and understand the Bible intellectually, you'll fail.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be bound up in always learning but never coming to a knowledge of the truth, as the Bible says, because the truth has to be deep down inside in your heart. You know, in Romans 10, Paul said, if you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, if you understand the gospel perfectly as from an intellectual standpoint,
so
you'll be saved.
So true. That's vital. Even Paul, who just added a little footnote to that, talked about the natural man does not understand the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. And one of the things that I learned from a Jewish man who taught me this was that the value of meditation, that the Bible's not to be read like a book with intellect, like you're pointing out, it's to be meditated on, and only as we meditate on it does it go down in our heart, and that has unlocked tons for me of revelation that just comes by chewing and meditating, thinking over and over. You say, meditation, what is that? If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. Okay, worry is meditation in the negative. Okay, we're talking about meditating on in a positive way. And so,
in Psalm 119, the Bible says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee."
Amen. Amen.
And that word gets into your heart when you think about it, when you meditate on it, when you spend time with it. It doesn't come just by reading the Bible through and turning one page after another.
Amen. Amen. I know there are people out there watching tonight, and I, at whatever time you're watching, we're glad you're here. It's not an accident. It's not a coincidence. You're catching this right at this moment. This is something God wants you to be involved in. He's offering this to you. He's laying down a great big banquet table here at Grace Tabernacle that He wants you to come and feast at and receive all this wonderful teaching and revelation that He has to offer us. I don't know what your need is tonight, but God does, and I'd like to ask both Bruce and Jane to both look into the camera there, and both of you take a turn. Jane, you first, and begin to just pray for people that are watching tonight. Power of the Lord leads you.
Lord, we pray that You would meet each one's needs. You're the one who knows who's listening and when they're listening. Yeah. Because You are a God who knows each of us personally and loves us where we're at. Pray that You would touch each one and come in a tangible way, that they'll feel Your presence, Lord. That they'll maybe for the first time say, okay, if You're there, show me. And that they'll experience You in even a greater way, a personal, loving God who loves them.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You love us before we ever could say yes or ever could say, Lord, I'm sorry for this or that. We all have regrets.
That's right.
So, Lord, come to them right now. Pray in Jesus' name.
We believe You to do that, Lord, even right now through this broadcast. Bruce, go ahead, brother.
Father, I pray that people will have a fresh revelation that God loves me more than they've ever had before. I've heard many people that I respect in ministry say the greatest revelation any believer can have is just that God loves me.
I believe that.
And may the love of God coming into your life lead you to a place where you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit can bring healing, can bring deliverance, can answer every need, can raise you up to the person that God envisioned you to be when you were still in your mother's womb. We pray this in Jesus' name. We believe it will happen. And all you need to understand is that God loves you.
Really loves you. Yeah, fantastic. I believe that. That is the greatest revelation right there. He loves me just as I am. Praise God, He loves me so much He's not going to leave me that way. He's going to make us better.
Thank You, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we love you. Thanks for tuning in tonight, and we look forward to seeing you this Sunday. And be sure to look for Bruce and Jane. Go up to them, speak to them, ask them questions about this upcoming class and the Seder dinner. They'll be glad to have talk to you. They're wonderful people, and I'm so glad that you are part of our church family. God bless you. We love you both.
Thank
you. Really happy to be here.
And we love you too.
Looking forward to meeting y'all.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.